FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1/16/19. Month is officially half over. And hey, if you thought this was going to be a slow news month, that everybody was going to gradually get back into work and get over their New Year's induced hangovers, wrong. So much going on every front. And well, I guess it's the age of Trump or the age of enlightenment or the age of insanity or a little bit of both. But hey, as always, we invite you to join the show. Send us your emails. I'm going to do a special show probably next week after I get back from Vancouver, just answering your questions. I've got so many stocked up, and I think it'll be better to just answer them on the show. In any event, with us now is Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Jordan, welcome back.
Great to be with you, and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners, Kerry.
Hey, and you as well. So what, it isn't a Happy New Year, evidently, or maybe it is, I don't know. If you're a government employee, a government worker, which I always thought was, for most of them, a bit of an oxymoron, government worker, you go to work for the government so you don't have to work, or certainly don't have to work so hard, and you don't have to risk failure, all these things. But we've got this government shutdown. What are the ramifications of it?
I think a lot of it keeps going on, and at the moment, it doesn't seem like there's any ready solution. It's certainly obviously impacting the 800,000 or so government workers and their families in a major way. They live paycheck to paycheck, and the paychecks aren't coming in, and they're going to be defaulting on loans and not being able to pay their rent, and their credit card bills and their credit scores are going to plunge, and it's just going to be an awful lot of pain for them. But it's clearly affecting businesses that rely on the government in various ways, trying to get an SBA loan, farmers getting subsidy checks. If you're a restaurant near a federal facility, there's nobody there coming to your restaurant. If you're a hotel near a national park and the parks are closed, nobody's coming to your hotel. So that, and then there's a lot of contractors, federal contractors, who are not going to get back pay whenever this thing does end. So there's just been a lot of impact there. The numbers that I've been seeing are for every week the shutdown goes on, it cuts between 0.1 and 0.2% off GDP. So if we go the entire first quarter, we may have zero growth, actually. So it's definitely having a financial and psychological impact on the economy.
Yes, so it is, but it's really hard to feel bad for these government workers. I mean, yes, as a human level, I feel bad for them. I won't say I don't, but the fact is, like, they've had it so easy, so cushy. They're overpaid, they're underworked, and they're basically pretty useless in a lot of ways, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that they take these positions is for security. So they never thought this would happen, maybe for a week or so, but never go on this long. So they're willing to take lower salaries than they might be able to get in the private sector and some good retirement benefits in return for security. So that's a deal that's not working out for them very well right now. And there's just a lot of things. The airports are really starting to back up here with not enough TSA workers and the air traffic controllers. Food may not get inspected by the USDA or FDA. There's no initial public offerings of stocks. The SEC can't process them. And there's just a lot of things that are affecting the economy now. And as this goes on, it's going to continue to. So it's definitely depressing economic growth in the first quarter.
Okay. So we can agree on that, that there are issues. But many of these things that the government's been doing, they shouldn't have been doing anyway. So it's often stated by libertarians like myself, most of what the government does now in its current modern form is unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So if you're
it's not happening now. So you've been happy about that.
I mean, I'm breaking out the champagne here. You know, I got the champagne out and I am like thrilled as can be. No, I mean, look, I think they're non-essential employees, right? There's two types of government employees, essential and non-essential. So how about if we just get rid of the non-essential and keep the essential?
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, there are functions the non-essential people do that do have some value. But maybe this will create a rethinking of what kind of government workers we need. I mean, this is going on for a while, and I think it's going to go on for quite a while. Neither side seems to be really giving it all, and there's going to be a big public outrage. I mean, just to give you another example, food stamps. It's like 38 million Americans get food stamps. If this goes to the end of February, they're going to run out of money there, and you'll literally have people starving. Not having food stamps. So there's just a lot of things that are hitting the average person. Every week that goes by, it's going to be more and more.
Yeah, well, the wall is going to get built one way or the other. You know, it will be. But obviously, Trump knows to declare a national emergency, it's going to go to the courts. And his choice then is, do I just ignore the court to carry out my duties and risk all the fallout there? Or do I just avoid this? You know, look, the Democratic Party's natural constituency are government workers and all those people that feed off the government.
Right.
So it's going to hurt them. There's already some signs that some of the freshmen who really hate Nancy Pelosi they put out feelers to make a deal. You know, in these situations, it's usually the president that wins regardless what the party, because you know, you just can't.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, he's in a situation. He's kind of painted himself into a corner here because, I mean, this is a very small thing. We're talking about $5 or $6 billion in a $4.5 trillion budget.
It's a rounding error.
It's definitely a rounding error.
Yeah, it's nothing. Hey, well, then we got that headwind for the economy. Then we have rising interest rates and an inverting yield curve, which is never good news for the broader economy.
Well, so the Fed Reserve's been raising. They raised rates four times in 2018. At the moment, it doesn't seem like they're going to raise rates until maybe mid-year, maybe June, something like that. I mean, if the government shutdown continues, that'll slow the economy, and maybe that'll put off them raising rates at all this year. But short rates have definitely been rising back to what they call normalized levels, although they still think it should be higher. We're at 2.5 on the Fed funds. They would think, I'd say 3.5 would be more like normalized rates. So the short rates have been going up, and long rates have been coming down. The 10-year Treasury not that long ago was about 3.25. Now it's about 2.7. And there's kind of a flight to quality there. The Treasury auctions have been going pretty well because people want to put money into bonds with the stock market having been so volatile. So one of the impacts of that, Kerry, is that mortgage rates have come down since they're tied to the 10-year Treasury. Mm-hmm. So the 30-year fixed rate mortgage had been over 5%, about 5.25 or so, and that's now down to about 4.4. So it's not the all-time low, but it's certainly come down pretty significantly in the last few months. So that would mean either buying a home, or if your current mortgage is, I would say, 5% or higher, it might make sense to refinance. And so that's a positive for the economy to get people back into homes, because the housing market's definitely been slowing when mortgage rates got over 5%. Now it's back in the 4.5 range. It's going to help. One specific project, program that I want to mention to people is if they're considered American heroes, they can get a really big discount on mortgage rates and all the closing costs involved. There's a program called Heroes Come First at heroescomefirst.com that helps them. A hero is defined as military, either current military or veterans, doctors, dentists, police, fire, emergency medical technicians, EMTs, clergy, even teachers are all considered American heroes. And if they are in any of those categories, they get a lower rate on the mortgage. They get a rebate of 1/4 of the real estate agent's commission when they buy a home or when they sell a home. And then they get discounts on appraisals and attorney's fees and escrow and all the closing costs that go into a housing. So it can save them several thousands of dollars as a way of kind of giving back to American heroes. So the website for that, again, heroescomefirst.com. They've got a phone number too, 888-437-6114. You pass somebody in the airport saying thank you for your service, but this is a way of actually giving them cash back, which is even better.
So I guess lawyers aren't considered heroes, huh?
Lawyers are not considered heroes. No.
and neither are journalists, right?
So journalists are not either, but doctors are. But no, okay. Lawyers, I would never consider a lawyer a hero, I don't think.
And yes. Certainly not a journalist or a podcaster, right?
I don't think so. Not
I feel like I'm a hero. I feel like I'm a hero, and I want a hero's discount on my rates and my mortgage. So I don't know.
I would agree with you, but that's not the way this particular program works. I mean, what happens is you go to that website, heroescomefirst.com, and then you see who is the mortgage company or the real estate agent that works in that program so you can qualify for all those discounts.
Hey, well, maybe if I become an auxiliary policeman, do you think then I'll be a hero?
Yes, absolutely.
No, get out of here.
Do citizen's arrests.
Yeah, if you think I become an auxiliary cop, then I could be a hero too?
Yes, I think you definitely could.
All right. Well, there's your loophole. I'm joining up. Or, hey, what if I'm become an EMT and become a volunteer for the ambulance?
That would count. That would count. It's pretty loose definition.
All right. Well, I'm going to be heroic then. That's my New Year's resolution here, Jordan, is to become heroic. And if I can do it, you could do it too. So, right. So we got escalating debt here, personal debt. I mean, the student loan debt merry-go-round just seems to be speeding up here, Jordan. At some point, this thing is going to come off the axle, and it's going to go flying, and all those people on the merry-go-round are going to get crushed.
It's already been happening. I mean, about 20% of student loan debt is now either delinquent or in default, which really ruins people's credit ratings. Every year they're taking on more and more student loan debt because people aren't saving enough to pay for college. And the average is something like $39,000 in student loan debt that people are graduating with. The total is about $1.5 trillion. And it's the fastest growing debt out there by far. One thing people can do if they've got a lot of student loan debt is refinance it into one loan at a lower interest rate. A place that can help them do that is called Credible. Their website, credible.com, and then just do /money answers. They get $200 off their first payment if they do it that way. And they have about 12 different lenders who offer different programs, typically in like the 3-4% interest rate area, based on different maturities. It can be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, some of them variable, some of them fixed. So you pick what's best for you. And instead of having a bunch of private loans and a bunch of federal loans at different interest rates and different payment times, now you can have one at a lower interest rate and help pay it off. But it is an enormous problem and growing all the time because people are taking on this debt. And in many cases, not graduating either at all or with a major that they can get a job that they can pay this debt back with.
Well, I hear that puppetry and puppet masters are in real demand now.
So oh, good.
If you're thinking of going, you have a kid out there, send them off and let them become puppeteers. Or, hey, if that doesn't work, art history, is always a safe backup, especially if you're looking for a meaningful career where you can really do things and shake up the world. You know, Jordan, this is the big problem here is, now, look, when you and I went to college, it was a different thing because it was a fraction of what it costs now.
Right.
The cost of education at Pace University in Manhattan, where I am a proud alumni, I think my whole thing, 128 credits, it was $100 a credit, add in the nonsense fees, $15,000, plus opportunity cost, plus lodging. But I worked full-time after my first year. And then law school was $12,500 plus nonsense fees, plus lodging, plus opportunity cost. But literally, I paid back both degrees within a year of graduating from law school. And I was working all the time anyway. So, but it's different now. The payback on this stuff is really long term. You really have to be strategic about your college education, don't you?
Well, and I think some people are being more strategic, but a lot of people are not. They go to college. They don't really have a good sense of what they want to do or what field they're interested in. And I mean, what other kind of a trouble can a 17 or 18 year old get in? Maybe they can get drunk or something, but taking on tens of thousands of dollars in debt without having a clear direction is asking for an awful lot of trouble. And the irony, Kerry, is that there's tons of jobs available. The Labor Department puts out what's called the JOLTS report, the job openings report, and it's been about 7 million jobs available, and there's about 6 million unemployed people. So there's, if you want to go for jobs, there's loads of them available. Just these tend to be jobs that the millennials either don't want or are not qualified for. So that's the big mismatch in the economy right now.
Well, okay. So let's talk about that. So a welder, you know, you go through the training. First year, you make 80 grand.
Yeah.
Now, there's not many college jobs that you can graduate from college and make 80 grand your first year, other than engineering, software, systems.
Computer science, things like that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And like engineering, definitely you can do it. But it's really tough to make that kind of money. And yet the millennials are like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Or exactly.
Be a plumber. There's definitely a shortage of these tradespeople in certain parts of the country. Probably there's too many in places like Florida where there's so much building going on. But the rest of the country, we don't have enough. So
yeah, it's going to get worse because every year, more and more baby boomers who are doing these jobs are retiring.
Right.
They're hitting 65. I think 10,000 a day hit 65. So more and more of the baby boomers who are doing all these jobs are retiring, and fewer millennials are getting trained, so they're not able to or willing to take these kind of jobs. So it's kind of ironic that you have on one hand, you've got these people with huge student loan debt and don't know what to do with themselves. On the other hand, you have employers desperate to hire workers and they can't find anybody who's willing or able to do it.
Yeah, irony. Irony at its finest taste. So the auto boom, we talked about this over a year ago, the auto debt boom. Now the sales are slowing down, concessions and rebates and price cuts and all that. But if you're stuck with a car, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. So they have, we sold over 17 million cars in 2018, probably a little bit less than that this year. But people have taken on some big cars with big payments. And in many cases, they just can't afford it. They're getting the repo man that's coming to take their car back, which is not a good way of handling your credit. So what they can do is they can refinance their car loans to a much lower interest rate or change the maturity so that it's a more affordable level. There's a website, a free website called MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com. And you go on there, you put in how much you owe in your existing car, what your monthly payment is, what the interest rate is, and how many more months you have to go. And it gives you a choice of what your payment's going to be. Say you want to get the payment down by extending out the maturity. So say it's $500 a month for 3 years. If you went out to 6 years, maybe get it down to $250 a month, and it's more affordable for you. And the cars tend to last a long time these days, too. Or you can go for a lower interest rate. It's up to you. And then when you pick a payment you like, you hit submit, and a bunch of credit unions around the country compete for your business to refinance your car loan to something more affordable for you. So that can hopefully help these people that have taken on huge car loans of a depreciating asset. I would say it doesn't make sense to borrow against something that's depreciating in value, but you know that's what's happening with a car.
Which is why when you're buying a car, all right, and I've done this a lot over the past, but sometimes doesn't work out depending on the car you want. You buy one that's 2 or 3 years old with very low mileage. You just go to a place like autotrader.com or cars.com, find that thing. You can check the Carfax, and it's almost certainly, you know, the Carfax, if there's been major damage to the car, the Carfax will 95% of the time show it, unless no insurance claim or police report was filed, then the Carfax won't be accurate. But a 2-3 year old car, the way cars are made now, Jordan, cars are made to last a quarter of a million miles, just a drivetrain. So just do that. You'll save all that depreciation, which depending upon the vehicle could be anywhere. If it's a car, a truck could be like 25% to a third to an automobile, high-end luxury automobile could be 50% off the price,
right?
2-3 years old, and the car is just as good. I mean, I once bought a BMW 550, and this was really cool. It was a manufacturer's car. It got driven like 1,800 miles. It was 3 years old when I bought it, but it was brand new, and I paid like 40% off of the original list for the vehicle.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want to take that depreciation hit, and that's the way of doing it. I agree with you completely. Yeah. A lot of people like to go to the dealer showroom and smell the new car smell and the whole thing.
So there's drugs. There's narcotics in that,
narcotics,
smell.
Correct.
And it, well, look, anything sensory that you're not reading, any other type of sense, goes right to your brain, bypasses critical reason, and because we're wired this way. So the smell of the new car is one of those things that it hits the pleasure center, dopamine starts getting released, and before you know it, you're signing on the dotted line, and it's not necessarily in your interest. I will forego that new car smell to save 40%.
I agree with you completely.
So what else is on our chart here?
Well, I thought we talked a little bit about the Heroes program for mortgages, but I just want to briefly talk about paying mortgages off faster. I mean, you still have a mortgage rate of 4.5% to 5%, and there's a strategy called mortgage optimization, which allows you to pay it off much, much quicker than you'd ever thought possible. And basically what it involves is you have a first mortgage, that's a good one, at whatever, 4 or 5%, but you have a second mortgage, which is a home equity line of credit, a HELOC, which allows you to pay it down much, much faster because you're making progress on the principal every day. You keep your income, which normally is sitting in a checking account earning nothing, you keep that income in the HELOC, and they do what's called average daily balance. They're pushing the principal down every day, and you literally can pay off a 30-year mortgage in about 5, 6, 7 years on your existing level of income. There's a website that can kind of take you through it, which is called truthinequity.com, and it's free. You go on there and fill in what's called a personal profile, and you put in all your numbers, your income and your expenses and your mortgage and your house value and all that, and it's going to say, okay, based on what you've been doing, it'll be 28 years to pay off your mortgage. With the numbers you just gave us, it'll be 6.2 years, whatever it is, and then they kind of take you step by step through it. I'm big on paying debts off faster rather than slower. This is something you'll never hear about from traditional banks because they love you paying interest for 30 years. And even better, refinancing and starting a new 30-year clock all over again.
Yeah. Refi till you die.
So there's a way of saving yourself a ton of money.
Yeah, that's called refi till you die, right?
Exactly.
So, hey, and one other thing. So rates are still low. The what you can earn on your money still low. You had some programs before, I remember, something with bridge loans, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's something called the Secured Real Estate Fund, which is a way of getting an 8% yield. You have to lock your money up for at least a year or so. But yeah, that's worked out well. They do commercial real estate loans. And so there's a way, the website for that is securedrealestatefunds.com.
All right, so that's it for now. Hey, we always appreciate you coming on, Jordan. We're just going to have to see where this government shutdown ends. I mean, at some point, these people have to go back to work. So it's just Trump against Pelosi. And I think that Trump can handle the pressure. I think the Democratic Party is going to start having issues and they're going to break, because party unity is one thing. But they're going to be hearing from thousands of constituents every day. And just yesterday, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't meet with the angel moms, I think they were called, angel parents of children or relatives of who've been killed by illegal aliens, aliens by murder, drunken driving, you know, all sorts of things. And they stormed her office. And this is going to become a regular occurrence here It'll happen to the Republicans, but not as much because they're not at the forefront of this. It's Trump. You can't storm the White House. You can storm the House and right. the Senate. I mean, if you've ever been to D.C., you just walk into the building after they make sure you're not carrying grenades or anything. Yep. And then you're there and you get enough people together. They can do anything in the place. And all they could do is eject them, basically. If they're yep. really unruly, arrest them. This is going to put more and more pressure. 800,000, but that's the tip of the iceberg. It's probably 5 million when you get down to all the people
right.
being hurt.
Indirectly affected. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. Well, yeah. let's hope we get a resolution one way or the other, because it's really hurting the economy. It's going to hurt. The more it goes on, the more the kind of multiplier effect is going to yeah. hurt the economy.
Yeah. And hey, the my personal preference, you need a wall. You need security there because there's drugs pouring in over the border. Everything Trump has said is true, that you can't secure the border without it. It's not a cure-all. The Great Wall of China, had its problems for sure, but it certainly is a deterrent and right. will stop a lot of the smuggling that's taking place. So let's hope it's all done quickly. Again, Happy New Year to you and yours, Jordan. Hey, by the way, be a part of the show and email us kl@kerrylutz.com. If you are listening or watching on YouTube or through traditional podcast channels, then we ask you to please subscribe, like, and share the show. It really helps when you do that. We can get the word out to so many people. Just a few of the things that Jordan listed here can save you thousands of dollars and make you thousands. And if that's not worth it, then I don't know what is. Jordan, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, Kerry. And I'm always glad to get emails from your listeners at moneyanswers.com.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.